Well, we're going to hear from God's word in John chapter 11, and we've got a whole team reading to us today. So let's hear from God's word.
A man, Lazarus, was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling them,
Lord, the one you love is very sick.
But when Jesus heard about it, he said,
Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this.
Although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days and did not go to them. Finally, after 2 days, he said to his disciples,
Let's go back to Judea.
But his disciples objected.
Teacher,
they said,
only a few days ago, the Jewish leaders in Judea were trying to kill you. Are you going again?
Jesus replied,
There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light.
Then he said,
Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up.
The disciples said,
Lord, if he is sleeping, that means he's getting better.
They thought that Lazarus was having a good night's rest, but Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. Then he told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go and see him.
Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
Let's go too and die with Jesus.
When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to pay their respects and consoled Martha and Mary on their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask.
Jesus told her,
Your brother will rise again.
Yes,
Martha said,
When everyone else rises on Resurrection Day.
Jesus told her,
I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?
Yes, Lord.
She told him,
I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into this world from God.
Then she left him and returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her,
The teacher is here and he wants to see you.
So Mary immediately went to him. Now Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people were at the house trying to console Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said,
Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation and was deeply troubled.
Where have you put him?
They told him.
Come see.
Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said,
See how much he loved him.
But some said,
This man healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying?
Again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Then they came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance.
Roll the stone aside.
Jesus told them, but Martha, the dead man's sister, said,
Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he has been dead for 4 days.
Jesus responded,
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?
So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said,
Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
Then Jesus shouted,
Lazarus, come out!
And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them,
Unwrap him, here we go.
We tell an amazing story. The story about someone who died and rose again. And we read a story in the Bible today about Jesus raising somebody back to life. Not a full-scale resurrection, as happened to Jesus. Lazarus came back to the life that he had had before. But nevertheless, an incredible story there to point us towards Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. This story is saying to us, if you want to make sense of life, if you want to make sense of death, then here is where you look. Look to that man, Jesus. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these sayings where Jesus tells us who he is. I am the bread of life, he says. I am the light of the world. And today he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And all the way through these passages, one of the things that has really been striking me, and I've been trying to sort of get this over as I've been talking about them, is the way that people in these stories are always getting confused. I mean, it strikes me that there could have been a much simpler version of today's story to tell. It could have been that Lazarus got sick, that Martha and Mary sent the message to Jesus, and Jesus said a word and healed him from a distance. Jesus does that elsewhere, so there's no reason to think he couldn't do it here. Lazarus is instantly healed. Everybody's praising God. Well, it would have made for a shorter Bible reading this morning, for one that isn't quite as dramatic. But what we have here is not a straightforward story of somebody coming back to life, but a story left, right, and center of people being confused yet again by Jesus. Thomas, when he says, yeah, let's go back with Jesus, he says, well, let's go that we can die with him. Thomas, always the optimist. Thomas does not go into this feeling wildly optimistic. He goes in feeling pessimistic. And actually, the warnings that the disciples give to Jesus. You know, last time you went there, the Jews wanted to stone you. It's very important to say that when John means the Jews, he's not having a go at the Jewish people as a whole. Of course, Jesus is a Jew. All the disciples are Jews. But he's talking about people who are enthusiasts for the Jewish law. But they warn Jesus. They say to him, Jesus, it's not safe. And it turns out to be true, because what actually happens, and we didn't get this far with the Bible reading, is that when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, it says that many Jews believed in Jesus, wonderfully, but some of them went to the authorities, told them what Jesus had done, and the authorities decided that it was more important than ever to get rid of Jesus. So this is not a story of straightforward Jesus saying a word and everything turning out wonderful. What actually happens is that Jesus actually pushes events forward that are going to lead to his own death. Now, I've come to this passage this week after what happened to me last Sunday. Last Sunday, I was in sort of saying goodbye to people after the service, and somebody put a Facebook posting in front of me, which said that somebody who was a member of the previous church where I had been minister had died. Dave was 45 years old. He had been diagnosed with cancer. And 8 weeks after he was diagnosed, he was dead. There was nothing that anybody could do. The cancer just shot through him. By the time it was diagnosed, it was too late for any sort of treatment. Dave died in a wonderful place called St. Francis Hospice, very similar to Dr. Kershaw's up here. These hospices are wonderful places. They give great care. And all my experience says as well that they give great care to the families of those who are dying. But it made me think of Martha and Mary watching their brother die. I don't know what Lazarus had, but it was serious. Maybe it was cancer, maybe it wasn't. But I imagine him lying there and his body getting frailer. And I imagine the pain that he was in. There were no palliative care drugs or anything else in those days to help people. And I read this story about Jesus delaying his return. And the way the story is told, Jesus does it deliberately. And I want to say to the Lord, why? I want to say to him, why would you do such a thing? I mean, yes, I get it. You raised him from the dead. I get that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I get that you had this fantastic conversation with Martha, you know, where you draw out faith from her. But even so, Lord, was it necessary that they should go through that pain? And the reason I feel that, I'm not just talking about Martha and Mary and Lazarus, I'm talking about common human experience here. Of times when we pray to God, sometimes because we are in pain, sometimes because the people who we know are in pain, and we think, Lord, why don't you do something? Both Martha and Mary, they come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I think if we're honest, that's how we feel about God sometimes. We feel that God is absent. We feel that God just isn't doing anything. And it's very important that we feel the freedom to be able to say so. You know, sometimes we can have this sort of wrong idea that out of loyalty to Jesus, we should always be full of faith, we should always be feeling fine, and we should always have perfect trust in him. And yes, Jesus does want us to have trust in him. But there are times when the question, why, is the question that we have to ask. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, it just really feels as if you are not here today. Stephen Fry, famously a few years ago, was asked what he would do if he was confronted by God at the pearly gates. And his reply was, I'd say, bone cancer in children, what's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world to which there is such misery that's not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Now, if I quote this next bit, please understand I'm quoting Stephen Fry. I'm not saying that I believe what he's saying. But why should I respect such a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world that is so full of injustice and pain? He says, that's what I would say if I saw God. And my reaction to that is to say, go for it, Stephen. Say what you honestly think. God is big enough to handle that. But in this story of Martha, Mary, Lazarus, once more, as we've seen in all of these, all over the place, Jesus just confuses people. So he says to his disciples, you know, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And his disciples think, oh, that's great. If Lazarus is asleep, that's a sign he's getting better. Jesus goes, no, that's not what I meant. It seems almost every time that Jesus comes up with some sort of picture to try and explain what is going on, that the disciples take it the wrong way. Now, why should I stress this morning? Because the stories of our lives are not simple. The stories of the world are not simple. all over the world, people today are suffering. All over the world, people today are saying, why, God, is this going on? What I think John chapter 11 is saying to us is that no matter how much it seems not to make sense, that if we stick with Jesus, that we will get there in the end. The disciples make the decision, okay, we haven't got a clue what is going on here, but we are going to follow this Jesus. And Jesus, you know, says to Martha, you know, the resurrection, they talk about the resurrection. And then Martha and Mary go with Jesus to the tomb. And they see something utterly wonderful. And then there's this strange bit where it says in a verse that's kind of famous because it's the shortest verse in the whole of the Bible, Jesus wept. But although it is only two words, it's not a couple of, you know, small words. It wasn't just that there were a couple of teardrops going down Jesus' face. It's Jesus wept bitterly. Jesus is described here as being so full of emotion that he's about to explode. He's full of emotion. He's full of grief. And the teardrops come down. And some people look and they say, wow, didn't Jesus love that man? That you can see it in the grief. Perhaps that releases us when we go to funerals. It's okay to cry, you know, in stiff upper lip British culture. We often think, I've got to get through this, I mustn't cry. Jesus had no problems about crying at a graveside. The emotion in him, I think, was so strong that any concern he would have had, he just wouldn't have cared about anymore. So some people are saying, see how much he loved him. But other people are saying, wait a minute, stop. What? There's not much point. I'm adding to what they said, but I think this is the point of it. He may have loved him, but he cured a blind man a little while ago. Surely, if Jesus loved him, he would have done something about it. We come to church every week. And we keep saying, God loves you. God loves you. Look at what Jesus has done. Look what God has done. God sent his only son. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes should not perish but should have eternal life. This is the truth that John's gospel gives us again and again and again. But sometimes we think, does God really love us? Does Jesus really? It's okay to say, God loves me, but look at what is going on at the moment. Look at the difficulties that I am facing. Look at the grief that I am in. And then the confusion just, it seems to keep going. Jesus says, right, take the stone away. And is it Martha who says it? You know, like, it's going to stink, Lord. What is the point of this, Jesus? You're too late. You know, what you're going to see here is a decomposing body. But Jesus prays and he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I think what he meant was that his prayer was answered right at the very beginning. Lazarus's body had not decomposed. There was no rotting. So they pull away the stone and they find it doesn't stink at all. I don't want to be glib in talking about this because this is delicate stuff, but it may be that there are things in our lives and we think that they stink and we think that God has messed them up. But when Jesus actually, if like, pulls a curtain away, so that we can actually see what is going on, we find it doesn't stink. We find that God is working out something greater, that all our confusion was simply that we were confused. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. Well, Jesus has already said in this gospel that he calls his people by name and they listen and they come. I think somebody reading John's gospel for the first time might have been surprised that it happened quite like this. But it's important in John's gospel. Jesus calls his friends by name. And he speaks to each one of us today because he knows us and he loves us and he cares for us. And Jesus says to us, despite all the confusion, despite all the stuff that's going on, I'm the resurrection of the life. I'm going to call you out of the tomb. Jesus is saying what happened to me is going to happen for you as well. Jesus says that if we believe, we will see the glory of God. And he says to them, take the grave clothes off Lazarus. Jesus' resurrection will be very different. When the tomb is rolled away on Easter Sunday, it won't be somebody walking out with grave clothes on that need to be removed. It will be somebody, well, it will be grave clothes just left, folded up neatly in the tomb, and Jesus gone to reveal himself later. So Jesus says to us here that we can utterly trust him, that he has the big picture in hand, that he has defeated death, and that if we stick close to him, then he will work through the confusion that we have with us. It's very easy for people to hear a bit of Jesus and walk away. Some people who saw what he did with Lazarus decided, we've got to get rid of this guy. And they went to the authorities, as I said earlier. We've seen that again and again. What Jesus does divides people. But I want to encourage you today to say a big yes to Jesus. I want to encourage you today, you may be confused. There may be a whole lot of stuff going on and you think it stinks. There may be a whole load of pain. But to say today, Lord, I trust you and I'm going to walk with you. And I have faith, not that it's all going to be sorted out today, tomorrow, or next week. But I believe you. And because I believe in you, I am going to see your glory. And what happens next, and we didn't read this, but what happens next is that Martha and Mary and Lazarus host a meal for Jesus at which he is the guest of honor. And we're going to host a bit of a meal for Jesus now at which he is the guest of honor. And Mary, in this most extravagant way, shows her love for Jesus for what he's done. So what we're going to seek to do by taking bread and wine together is to show our love for him today and express our trust in him.